Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us at the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. Very happy to hear from you, and we thank you for the many that have taken time to write us and let us know that you're listening to the broadcast. And also, it thrills us to know when you write and say, you know, we're praying for you as you bring these broadcasts. And we appreciate that very, very much. We really do. And we've been asked, too, if we have copies of the tapes. Yes, we do. And they are two tapes which have four radio messages on them. They're either $2.50 a tape that has two radio messages, or $5 for two tapes with four radio messages on them is what it is, and that just pays for the tapes and the charge of mailing them to you. So if you would like them, you can write us at Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. We've had several requests for those, so if maybe you were wondering, we do have copies of those, and we can make copies and be happy to send them to you. We want to continue on now, and we're going to go on from, there's one thing that we do want to bring out here and last here, and that's found over in Hebrews chapter 7, where it's concerning the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since we have Catholicism putting priests out here and putting the robes on them and dressing them up with white collars and so forth, and we're supposed to accept them as priests, well, I've got news for you. They are not priests. They are manufactured by this religious organization and put forth out here, and you're supposed to accept them and do what they tell you to do. And but you find nothing in the Bible about that. And when Jesus Christ came, and he came to this earth, he was born of a virgin, and he walked 33 years here, up on the earth here, and then he went to the cross, he died and was buried and rose again, and then when he ascended back to heaven, he is our high priest, and that ended the priesthood of any Old Testament priest. And as we've said previously, if you're going to be any priest in the Old Testament, you had to be of the tribe of Levi, you had to be a Jew, and of which none of these priests here even fit that. But even if they were Jew and they were of the tribe of Levi, which no Jew today knows of what tribe that he is from. All of the records were destroyed in 70 AD when that great Roman general by the name of Titus came in and completely destroyed Jerusalem. All of the records that were there in the temple and records that existed have all been completely destroyed. There isn't a Jew alive who can prove of what tribe that he is from. Now, as we continue on, we're going to find here in Hebrews chapter 7, I want to bring this out because I want to show you how that they have translated this, and it had to be purposely done because they have translated the Greek word correctly in the other places in their Bible, and when it comes to it here, we find out that they put the translation here of a different Greek word, which means something different, and yet they put the wrong translation on it. So I'd like for you to go in your Bibles here, and let's go here to chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, and begin to look here in verse 23. In verse 23, as we had covered last week, but we want to hit it just one more time, and then I want to show you something. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, it's speaking about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ as compared to the earthly priest. And they truly were many priests, that is, the Old Testament priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And the reason of that was they were all sinners. When they died, another priest took their place. When he died, another priest took his place, and so forth. But notice in verse 24, but this man, that is Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, that means he is everlasting, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, that's very interesting because we come to the Douay translation of the Roman Catholic Bible, and we find out over here that they did not translate it this way. Now, let me read verse 23 out of the Douay translation of the Roman Catholic Bible. And the other priests indeed were numerous because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, because he continueth forever, hath an everlasting priesthood in verse 24. So they put everlasting priesthood instead of unchangeable or untransferable, which clearly tells you that the priesthood of Jesus Christ is never transferred to any earthly priest or any earthly religious organization today. So Catholicism, with their fabricated lies have put out the priests and say, hey, these are priests. But the Bible refutes that. God's Word refutes that. But I want to show you something, how tricky this is. Because when you go to the Greek word for everlasting, it's an entirely different Greek word. The Greek word here, in verse 24, hath an unchangeable or an untransferable priesthood, and this is held to by A.T. Robertson, world-renowned Greek scholar, Kenneth Wiest, also in his study of Greek words, the same thing. It means untransferable. It means unchangeable. It is never transferred to any human being, put out, any pastor, any bishop, no man of any religious organization, and you have the Catholic Church then going exactly against the Word of God, throwing these men out, saying, hey, accept them, they're our priests, and so forth. They're lying to you, there are no priests. But I want to show you the trickery of this, because looking this up, I went back to look up the Greek word for everlasting, which is a different Greek word from unchangeable in verse 24, or untransferable. There, the Greek word is aperibatos, but that word is never used as far as in the Bible translated here as everlasting. Now, I'd like for you to notice something, and I'm just going to show you a few places here, that these men who translated the Douay translation knew exactly what the Greek word was for everlasting, because when they came to it, they translated it correctly. So if we go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, you'll find out over here, well, I take a moment and turn here, in chapter 18 here, in verse 8, you'll find out what the Word of God says. And it says, if thy hand or thy foot is an occasion of sin to thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter life maimed or lame than having two hands, two feet, to be cast into the everlasting fire. So they know the Greek word for everlasting, and then so it is translated correctly here. If you go to Luke here, chapter 18, I just looked up a few of these to see if they knew what the Greek word was, and here they translated it correctly. But they took this word, which doesn't appear in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, or Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and they put the wrong definition on it, and they used the wrong translation. That had to be purposely done. In Luke chapter 18:30, notice, they know what exactly the Greek word is because they translated the Greek word for everlasting, which is not the Greek word aperibatos. In verse 30, who shall not receive much more in this present time and in the age to come life everlasting. Now, if you go to John chapter 3, verse 16, the same Greek word for everlasting appears, and they translated it correctly. So they know the Greek word for everlasting, and they know the Greek word aperibatos is not the Greek word for everlasting. But what they did was put this in here and put everlasting in here. So if you're a Catholic and or anybody else and you read this, you won't read that the priesthood of Christ is unchangeable. You won't read that. And they don't want you to read that. They don't want you to know that because it would definitely contradict them putting men out and calling them priests when they are not priests at all. So when you're calling your Catholic organization representative there or your pastor or that, and you're calling him a priest or father, then that's just about the same as blasphemy, because they are no priest. You're accepting a lie that this organization has put out. And you can look it up for yourself. So, you know, don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. It just depends on if you want the truth or you want to be saturated with these lies, then I'd fight for your right to believe a lie if you want to do that. But fight for my right to at least tell you the truth, and you can check it out for yourself. Get your Bible out and read it for yourself. Now, we want to go on to something now, and I'm going to leave this here because we've shown enough things. Just about everything that the Catholic organization teaches is contrary to the Word of God. And I'm not going to recapitulate over that. If you've had our previous messages, you know that, because we went through that and showed you what the Bible said and what they perpetrate, and they are diametrically opposed. I want to move on to something now, and this is going to shock some of you, especially if you're a Lutheran. I want to look at a man by the name of Martin Luther, and I'm not going into a lot of the detail and the background. I'm interested in one thing. You tell me how to go to heaven when I die. Now, when I read the Large Catechism and the Small Catechism, and I read what Martin Luther wrote, then it agrees right down the line with Roman Catholicism, what the Roman Catholic organization teaches. And, for example, and then what we're going to do, Let me give you, for example, first, they believe that babies are to be baptized. No scripture in the Bible whatsoever. They believe also that baptism washes away your sins. It also frees you from the devil, also. Also, you become a Christian when you're baptized, and also, when you're baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. This is exactly what Luther believed. This is exactly what Luther wrote. In fact, we're going to see as we get into his large catechism that this man said, even though you don't have faith, just as long as you're baptized, then your faith, not having faith, will not keep your baptism from saving you. This is outright blasphemy. But I want to go through, and I have a brochure here that comes from the Lutheran Church of the Missouri Synod. But I have also the literature from the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America and also from the Wisconsin Synod, and they basically all agree on Luther's philosophy. I want to go through that just a little bit. Martin Luther was a man that he was born in 1483, November the 10th, and if you want the hour, it's 11 o'clock p.m. he was born. He died at 63 years old, and he died in the year 1546. I looked up in the dictionary. I just wanted to see what they would have to say. I have quite a large dictionary, and it says, or concerning Lutheran, and not Luther now, but Lutheran, those of you that follow this man by the name of Martin Luther. We find out, it says here, of or pertaining to Luther, adhering to his doctrines, or belonging to one of the Protestant churches that bear his name, a follower of Luther, or an adherent of his doctrines. Now, it's interesting to me that it didn't say adherence of the doctrines of the Bible, but it couldn't say that because then you would be following Jesus Christ. Now, I have talked to many Lutherans, and truthfully, I haven't talked to too many that have a large catechism. And some of the things that I have related to them, they have no idea. But then it sort of corresponds with what they have been taught in their Lutheran churches. And I'm talking about now not every one, because there are some offsprings of the Lutheran churches that have come out of different sects of the Lutheran church, and some of them I am not familiar with. I'm talking about your mainline organization of the Lutheran churches, your Wisconsin Synod, your ELCA, and also your Missouri Synod, and some of the others. But some of the offshoots I'm not that familiar with, so I'm only going to speak on what I have literature on and what and how close they follow this man who's been dead for 500 years. As we begin, I want to point out just a couple of things that maybe some of you didn't know. After witnessing to many, many Lutherans and leading a lot of these Lutherans to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, knowing they have a home in heaven, because they've been taught that water baptism saves you. That, yes, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not until you're baptized that that is put into effect. That's one of the big lies that Lutheran told, but also is believed by Roman Catholicism also. Now, in talking to many Lutherans, I've asked them, well, what about the rapture? Well, we're going to, a little bit later, we'll get into that, and I'll read you from their own literature. The prophecies that concern the Lord Jesus Christ in setting up the kingdom for 1,000 years, when Revelation tells us that Satan was chained for 1,000 years, and his saints will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20, Lutherans do not believe that. Martin Luther did not believe that, and that's why the Lutherans do not believe that, because their ministers do not teach that, and they have followed the philosophy of Martin Luther. Also, they do not believe in the fulfillment of the prophecies that God had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, that they would inherit all of the land there and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, where Christ would sit upon the throne, and David would also, in his resurrected body, sit upon the throne there of David, and where Christ will have perfect peace on this earth for 1,000 years. And we find that out. But they do not believe that at all. They spiritualize all of the prophecies concerning the future restoration of the nation of Israel. And the reason they do that is because they are followers of Martin Luther's philosophy and not following the Word of God. Martin Luther knew the promises, But he could not conceive at his time that these promises would ever be fulfilled. That's why he did not believe them. He could never reconcile the book of Romans, which says that we are saved by grace through faith, and knowing that if we have the same faith that Abraham had when he believed in God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. And we have the same thing in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He could not reconcile that the book of James should even be included into the canonicity of the Scriptures. And the reason for that was, he could not reconcile when it talked about in there, if a man say that he have faith and hath not works, his faith is dead. So he applied that to the fact, how could Romans say that you're saved by faith alone and belief alone? And then James comes along and says, no, it's not alone. If it's by faith, if we say we have faith and have not works, our faith is dead. So he attributed that to the fact of that if you say you have faith, but if you don't have a life to back it up, then your faith is dead, saying that you never had the right faith to believe with. And we have that kind of philosophy even today. So he didn't feel the book of James was properly or should be as included into the canonicity of the Scriptures because he couldn't reconcile the two. We're going to cover that and how those two are very easily reconciled, but Luther never conceived that. He could never get that in his mind. He did not believe the book of Revelation because he could not conceive that those things that are spoken of in the book of Revelation at his time could ever be fulfilled. So what he couldn't understand, he didn't believe should be in the Bible. And that's why you have your Lutheran churches today that follow the philosophy of Martin Luther and do not follow the teaching of the Word of God, and you follow the philosophy of Martin Luther. Now, we're going to get into that in quite a little bit of detail, but the most interesting point that I want to get into and what I became very interested into Martin Luther and what this man who is attributed to starting the Great Reformation, I wanted to find out a little bit and begin to study. I have several of his books. I have one back in 1875, a real, real old book. I have another where he translated the New Testament. I think it's 18 something, and that it was put out. But anyway, these were written and copied there, and that Luther had translated the New Testament. Now, this is what he had done in German, so mine's written in German. But then we find out that many of the things that he had written had been copied by those later in years and so forth and put into English so that we could read them and so forth, like your catechisms and so forth like that. Another thing that's very, very interesting that I found out, too, also is when I received a copy of the 96 Theses that were nailed on the Castle Church in Germany there by Martin Luther against the Roman Catholic Church, I began to read down through those and found out that Martin Luther, there were many, many things that he never came out of and agrees 100% with the Roman Catholic Church. He never came out of at all. And including your baby baptism, and including baptism for the remission of sins, mainly what he opposed was the fact of the authority of the Pope over the people, and rightly so. And the charging of money for a place called purgatory that never existed and ripping the people off, and the popes did that. And they raked in a lot of money off of the lie of the place of purgatory, which never existed, not in the Bible. So Luther, when you read down through these things, the main opposition that Luther had, not in every point, but the main opposition was, is the Pope and their priests taking money for the forgiveness of sins and ripping people off. And not only did they take money for the forgiveness of sins, but then after they die, then they fleece the family for more money to get the people out of a purgatory that never existed. When really, if their sins had been forgiven and had they trusted the Bible, then first of all, they had never went to purgatory. They're absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the Catholic organization was ripping them off for that, and still do today. And that's what Luther was against, mainly. And he really opposed that, which he should have, as well as any other Christian, as well as they do today, to do that. But anyway, there are a few things that Martin Luther believed Now, when it comes to the thing, as I've said before, that I'm interested in, and that's whether you tell me how to go to heaven and keep me out of hell. And that's what I'm really interested in. All of your philosophy doesn't mean a thing to me, because you're just a sinner and you're just a man. You are not God, although you're worshipped as God. They'll take you, Mr. Luther, and they'll take you, Mr. Pope, over the Bible. Well, that's what we're going to look at, because I'm very interested in that. And after we get through, if you want to still worship the Pope and you still want to worship Martin Luther and take him over the Bible, then you can go ahead and do that. But if you believe what Martin Luther taught concerning baptism, that it washes away your sins, it gives you eternal life, you are a Christian when you're baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit when you're baptized, and then heaven is opened unto you. Let me read you right from their pamphlet here. It works forgiveness of sins. It rescues from death and the devil. Well, boy, I'll tell you, I know some Luthers that have not been rescued. I'll tell you. But I know some Baptists who haven't, too, you know. And gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. So if you believe that water baptism gives you eternal life, then it'll give it to you if you believe it. That's a lie out of hell. It is never the water that saves you. And we're going to examine every one of these verses that Martin Luther uses, along with Catholicism, which he never disagreed with at all. And they both agree on the same thing, but they disagree with about every other denomination, about every other person. Because if you believe what Martin Luther taught, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, we're going to study the verses, and you can study them right along with us. You can open your Bible, and you can read them. Now, I want to give you something, because how important this is to me. I have, after, I should say this. When I was a young teenager, I was 16 or 17, I was out drinking one night. And being out drinking there, we rolled a car over. I was in the back seat. My two buddies were in the front. Rolled the car over. We were all drinking drunk. And my head went through the windshield, the side windshield, and it cut my neck from the bottom of my chin right up to the jugular vein and stopped. Stopped right there. This was about 2:30 in the morning. And we were all drinking in the car and so forth and having a great old time. And anyway, just luckily, a farmhouse was up and they were having company and they were up there playing cards and stuff. And luckily, they rushed me up to the hospital and soaked up about 3 beach towels of blood before they could get the bleeding stopped. But a miracle that God had stopped that glass from cutting that 1/32nd of an inch, just one hair. And I would have died that night at, I believe I was in my early 17. And anyway, but you lay in the hospital there, and they would not sew it up because they had to call a surgeon to come and cut all that glass, that shattered glass that was in my neck. So they couldn't sew that up until they cut all that out. And I remember my mother coming up, and they had the emergency room, you know, shut off, but I could hear through the doors there. She said, I'll never forget, she said, "Well, is he going to make it? Is he going to make it?" Well, that's a little scary when you hear your mother saying that, you know. And but anyway, I made it. But I thank God for that so much. But I came so close to dying that night, just within a hair. And I look back, because I'd went to a Catholic priest, and I'd talked to him there. And I'd ask him, I didn't know much. I said, "Well, can we really know we're going to heaven? And I got this run around." "Well, not really, but you know, have you joined the church? Are you a Catholic? Is your mother and dad a Catholic?" The only thing he was interested in is I was a Catholic. He couldn't tell me how to go to heaven. I never asked him. I was young then, and I was just curious. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to ask him. He had no answers for me whatsoever. You might try your priest. Maybe they've changed today, but I don't think they believe the same thing today as they've believed. There hasn't changed one thing, because I've talked to many, many priests today. But anyway, I got thinking, and I had talked to a Lutheran preacher. Only thing he wanted to do was baptize me to wash away my sins. And some other preachers, just in over a period of time there when I was a young boy. And I never had a preacher tell me that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. And I didn't have to do anything, that Christ had did all of the work on the cross when he died. He had paid for my sins, and completely, he said, "It's finished. There's nothing, Max, you can do. I'll give you. I've bought your right. I've shed my own blood. I gave my life on the cross to save your life. I have paid for your right to go to heaven. And if you'll trust me and believe that I died on that cross, I was buried, and I rose again, and I paid for your sins, I promise you that you will never perish but have everlasting life, because I came to this earth to give my life to save yours so you could spend eternity with me in heaven. I never had a preacher tell me that till I was about 23 years old, and I had talked to several preachers. So I don't have any use for lying preachers, and I don't have any use for philosophy of men that's been dead 500 years, that will tell you contrary to the Bible. As we're going to study the scriptures that Martin Luther uses, they're the same ones that the Roman Catholic organization uses and so forth, and if you believe those, you're not saved. I'll just tell you right now, you have no, and this is why when you talk to these people that have followed Martin Luther, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. Well, God never gives a hope so salvation, never. If you're trusting Jesus Christ, you know so, because you're standing on the promises that God has made when he sent Christ to die on that cross, and he promised you if you'll accept his payment for your sin, you won't have to die and go to hell and make that payment yourself. Well, I see our time slipped away. We're going to continue on, and it'll be very interesting here because we're going to read some things that Martin Luther said, and we're going to compare those with Scripture. But anyway, we thank you for joining with us. It's been a privilege to have you. We hope you'll take time and write. And our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. We have a wonderful youth group that meets every Thursday night from 7 o'clock until 8:30 or 9, depending on how the weather holds up and so forth. And our church service on Sunday morning is from 10 to 11, and then on Sunday night from 6 o'clock until 7. We hope you'll join with us. It's been a privilege to have you. Take time to write us. We'd love to hear from you. Keep looking up, because the next event's the great event. The Messiah comes again. As we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.